Also, offering is at the back. You can mail it in. You can go online. Several different ways to do that. So thank you for being the church. In fact, that's my title today, being the church. Amen. That's what we're going to talk today about. As Paul is coming to the close of this letter to the Thessalonians, he once again is encouraging the body of Christ to live in such a way that it will strengthen and help the church be who God has called the church to be. That's why the title being the church. In our passage today, Paul also seems to be advising that instead of being concerned about the dates and the times of Jesus' second coming, we would be much better served if we would just live for Jesus in light of his coming. That's how we're supposed to do this. And Paul gets ready in his conclusion with a list of rapid-fire instructions. How many feel like you've been there at home and somebody said, I need to do this and this and this and this and this and this? Well, it's kind of what Paul does to us here, to make your faith personal in your life. So let's read our passage for today. I'm just looking at four verses. That 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 15. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Your word is life-giving. And so, Lord, teach us these things today, not just as having them as thoughts as a believer, but having them as actions as a believer. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing Paul addresses in this scripture is this thought: respect your leaders. Now, I am not teaching this because I am a leader. I'm teaching the Word of God. In fact, Paul teaches we should respect those who have leadership over us. Let me read it again to you. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Church, I think Paul wants us to think beyond that of just a pastor, in my opinion, as I read this. In fact, we just had our pastor appreciation, and this was a passage that was read on that day, and it was an appropriate passage to read. And once again, you honored us as pastors, and we are appreciative. But I think the passage goes beyond that of respecting and honoring a certain position. Paul tells us to honor a certain kind of person. The person, first of all, who works hard, he says, and has influence over the spiritual growth of your life and who cares for you. Paul says these people are characterized, and I'm using this term, by diligent labor. The Greek word actually for work hard means to exhibit a great effort and exertion, even to the point of exhaustion. They work hard, and therefore, they earn the respect of those they serve. Now, but the thing is, it's not just a position. It could be people who are leading small groups, people leading youth or our children's ministry. And I want you to know, I appreciate all of those who are leading the church, leading people with their lives. Thank you so much. Keep it up. Amen. These people also admonish others, instruct people in the faith. They do it with the hope of turning people away from doing the wrong things or making the wrong decisions. Church, it's not about titles. is about character. It's about influence in people's lives. In fact, the book of Hebrews reiterates this thought in Hebrews 13:7, where it says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith." And so it's good for us to examine the outcome of a person's life. Why? Because in the church, it's character that influences, not position. Church, we all need to find people other than pastors in the church who help you grow in your Christian faith. I need an amen to that. You need more than just pastors speaking into your life. You need other believers who are walking this out so we do it together. And if you don't have anyone in your life like that, you need to find someone. And when you do, learn everything you can from them. And then, what are you supposed to do? Encourage them in their work? Value their contribution to your life? Listen to what they've got to say? And then, follow their lead. A second thing Paul tells us to do is live at peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, the second part of verse 13, live in peace with each other. In this sentence, Paul is giving us a very familiar principle that basically we should be peacemakers and not troublemakers. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers. What are they called? Or they'll be called children of God. When you're a peacemaker, you look like you are a branch off of God. Again, Paul tells us in Romans 14, 19, let us therefore do what? Make a little effort, some effort, every effort to do what leads to what? Peace and to mutual edification. Now, I'm going to tell you that some might like and try to take this passage out of context. Some want you to think that Paul is saying you need to be tolerant in light of the contemporary view of tolerance. That's what they're trying to teach. And they think that in being a peacemaker, you should let everybody do their own thing and accept however people want to live. I do not believe that. I don't believe that's what Paul is teaching here. In fact, that is why context of Scripture is so important, because in the following verses, Paul actually is teaching us to hold each other accountable in the life that we're living for the Lord. In fact, in this passage, you need to remember, Paul is talking to the church, not to the world. He's talking to those who are following Christ. You need to be peacemakers. So make for peace, church. Make it in the church, make it in your relationships. And peace comes from believers working together in honoring and serving the Lord together. Amen? Let's look at verse 14 and 15. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. First thing he says, very specifically, help each other. This is what he's talking about. Warn the idle and disruptive. The term translated idle and disruptive is really one word that probably is better translated unruly. It's a term used of soldiers who were behaving disorderly or in a subordinate way, or soldiers that went AWOL, basically. Church, when we see someone going astray in the church, getting idle in their walk with God, we have a responsibility as the church to warn that person that they are in danger. We need to help people that we see are drifting from the faith or disrupting others in their faith. It's our responsibility, Paul says. Warn these people. Paul is calling us out to care about each other enough to keep each other from danger, especially eternal danger. Amen? Secondly, Paul says we ought to encourage the disheartened. The word translated disheartened means faint-hearted or discouraged. This is the only time this word is actually used in the New Testament. But the idea seems to be that we want to encourage those who are wanting to quit or give up. Truth be told, most of us have hit that point in our life. Somewhere we've gotten a little disheartened in our faith. Or maybe we feel like we're not accomplishing anything. Can I tell you, sadly, many pastors have walked away from ministry because they believe they weren't making a difference. In fact, statistically, this is what is happening. Over 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month. That's what's going on. They're disheartened. But I want you to also, we talk about pastors, but I want you to look how churches are emptying. It isn't just happening with pastors. In the church, many teachers have quit teaching. Singers have stopped singing, and others have just drifted from the church because they were tired or felt like they weren't a part. And I know with all the COVID-19 this year, I'm wondering possibly over time just how many people may or may not come back to church. Why? They've been out of church so long. And we're okay to do online. And I'm not against online. Listen, I'm glad you're online. But there is nothing like being with the people of God. So I encourage you, when all this is said and done and they figure out something, we've got to get back to being what God has called us to do. To be people who live for Jesus at home, live for Jesus at church, and live for Jesus in our personal world, wherever that is, showing the love of God to this world. The world is longing for it. So don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Let me tell you what Galatians 6:9 says. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen? So help each other when you see someone struggling with discouragement. Help them along. The third thing Paul says is help the weak. Everyone in church, this is what I was talking about, needs a buddy. A buddy that will help them out. Church, what's heartbreaking for me as a pastor is that there are those in the church who feel second class because they've suffered maybe a divorce, or they've been in jail, or they've had rough pasts that makes them feel of less value than others. I am telling you today, that should not be in the church. Now, I know human tendency on two sides. The human tendency in church is for people to feel withdrawn when they have a rough past already, because they're already feeling like they don't meet up. The other side is that some people don't know what to say or how to treat people who have been through so much. That's why we need the buddies. We need a buddy in our life. Church, we've been called to help the weak. I appreciate like our Celebrate Recovery. We're trying to make buddies there. It doesn't matter what you've been through. I don't know what your hurt, your hang-up, or your habit may be. But you need a buddy who will help you get through it, who will strengthen you and say, we're going to do this together. In fact, Paul gives us a great general principle for every situation. You ready? Be patient with everyone. In some ways, this is probably one of the most difficult commands to follow. Most people do not want to wait for anything. Everybody wants to give everybody else a solution. We want to solve problems. We want people to shape up right now. And sometimes people just need others to be patient with them and listen. Church, we all need people in our lives, people who will listen rather than try to fix us. People who are willing to weep with you rather than just say, move on. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to be kind of like I said, I'm just hitting the punches today. People are willing to try to instruct you rather than get frustrated when you don't understand. We need people who will pray for us and stay with us and even endure with us through our bad days rather than getting offended and walk away. If I ever have a bad day, can you just be patient with me? I hope I never show one, but if I do, don't get offended. I'm human just like you. And so we've got to work together. Listen, patience is the key that unlocks the door in your deepest relationships. Love starts them, but patience comes along and says, I'll hang in there with you. You cannot have significant relationships unless you're willing to be patient with people. Let them grow. And Paul then says, don't use worldly tactics. Listen to it in verse 15. Make sure, catch the emphasis here, that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what's good for each other and for everyone else. Church, the world tends to take advantage of the weak or those who are ridiculed as being different. And the world views every encounter as a contest that either you win or I win. The world has a simple philosophy and question about every relationship. What's in it for me? That is not the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Jesus had compassion on the weak. Jesus defended the helpless. Jesus saw potential in those that the world would ignore. Jesus was not concerned about his own notoriety. All Jesus wanted to do was bring more people to the throne of God. Church, let's pursue that as our goal, to bring people to the throne of God. And let's take this passage today and personally begin to apply it. Worship team, would you join me? Number one, let's review. Identify those who influence you spiritually and give thanks to God for those people in your life. Take it to heart. Who is really influencing you? Have you really told them? Why? Because they need that kind of encouragement. Do your best to encourage them and cherish them as a part of your life. Secondly, be daring in your life and get involved in the life of a friend who seems to be heading in the wrong direction. I thought of someone this morning that I haven't seen for a couple of weeks, and I don't catch everybody, but the Lord brought this one to my mind, and if they're not here today, I got to give them a call. Church, if I'm asking you, the church, being the church, you kind of know who normally sits around you unless you change your position. And if they're missing, reach out to them. Let them know that, listen, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I missed you. And I care about you. And I don't know what's going on. And I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. It's so sad to me, and I have reached out to some, but I watch people move to the back, and I'm not picking on anybody in the back this morning. Most of you all sit in the back or the balcony. But I've watched people move. Really, it's offense that brings it, but they'll start, maybe they sit in the middle and they just start sitting a little further back and a little further back until one day they just aren't in church anymore. Church, we have got to be the church. And if you're expecting me to be the caregiver of the whole body, then you've missed the point. My point is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You are the saints, and you sit there with your friends and your buddies, and we need to help each other and warn each other. Why? Let's stay in this thing. Number three, make it a point to encourage those who look discouraged. Now, I know I've walked up to people and say, are you feeling okay today? And they're like, I'm fine. I have to leave it there, even though they might look discouraged. I can only speak into what they'll let me speak into. You know, well, you really don't look normal, you know. That's not encouraging. And I want to encourage. So I'm not asking you to pry. I'm asking you just to encourage if you see it look like, they just might not look like themselves today. So you know what? Or just, you know, can I pray for you? I'm telling you, that one works all the time. Lord, just strengthen us and help us and speak to the Lord before them and yet encourage them in the Lord. Number four, figure out a way to be a buddy to somebody. Take time to really begin to listen and be patient with people. I really think this COVID, in fact, I got a letter this morning and I read it, and one of our people in our body has been at home since January. And they wrote a poem that it was all about discouragement because of COVID. See, I appreciate and I love you because you've been able to get out, but I love those online. There are some who just can't because of the nature of their work. And that's been this one, because of the nature of their work, they've had no relationship outside of work. And I just want to encourage you. You know what? As we move out of this, I'm thankful you got phones, and some of you got FaceTime, and some of you got Skype, and some of you got Zoom. Use it. Have some face-to-face moments, even though it might be over a device. And find a buddy. I hope everybody really has a buddy in your life. Remember the old buddy system when we go to camp? You need a buddy. Because I first used that word, I'm like, well, that's for the guys. No, it's for all of us. It's the buddy system. Why? Because there are days you need somebody you can call. You need somebody you can text. Say, I need your help. Being the church is so important. We don't just go to church. We are called to be the church. And being the church is going to take all of us to continue to grow in how we're going to care for each other in light of Jesus coming. How we're going to minister to this world. And we've got to do it together. But it starts, obviously, with a surrender to the Lord. The first one you need in your life is the Lord. It's the Savior of the world, Jesus. And I just want to take a moment, if online or in this room today, you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, why don't you do so right now? The Bible tells us that if you believe He died and rose again, and you make Him Lord of your life, you are saved. It's not hard. Jesus didn't want to make it hard. It was just about Jesus. It was about belief. It was about faith in something that He was the creator of the world and He wants to know you. So Heavenly Father, right now, if there's anyone online in this room that needs to put their faith in You, I pray You'll help them do it. Lord, that they'll say, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, master my thoughts and my heart, be my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, and it's that simple. And now we begin to walk with God, and most of you have made that decision in your life, but now let's put into action how we're supposed to treat one another. Paul gives these instructions not just as some random thoughts, but by the Holy Spirit so they could be applied in the life of a believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can encourage one another. We can warn each other. We can build each other. We can help each other. And so I encourage you to do so. This morning I want to end with a song that we sang, Nothing But the Blood. Because one of the things I want to make sure you are reminded of is it isn't you, it's Christ in you. It's because of the blood of the Lamb that you are forgiven. And therefore, not only you, but your brother and your sister are forgiven. So that's why the past doesn't matter. When we get to heaven, God doesn't bring up your past. He's dealt with that. So why doesn't the church deal with it and say, let's move on. Let's encourage one another. Why? I'm looking for His coming. And in looking for His coming, I don't want you to miss it. So I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. We're going to keep living it. And no, you know what? We do stumble at times. But He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we confess our sins. And to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And so, church, that's how we need to live. Amen? Amen. So I just want you to sing that last verse again. This is my hope. Amen? This is my peace.
This is all my hope and peace.
It's nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And what makes you righteous? It's not what you do, but who He is.
He is all my righteousness.
It's nothing but the blood. Sing it once more. This is my hope and peace.
And this is all my hope and peace.
I rest in You, Lord. Nothing but the blood of
Jesus.
My righteousness is in You.
This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood. Like people who are being the church. Lord, that we're helpers and encouragers, and even at times we are warners to warn people. So God, help us to do it in such a way that would honor You and live out even the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the right way. Lord, to not think it's us, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us and using us to strengthen the body. Lord, help us minister effectively to one another and care about one another. God, that we would be patient with one another. Lord, I do want us to grow up and be people who just don't always suck on the milk of the Word, but the meat of the Word. But God, for those who still need the bottle, it's okay. So Lord, guard my heart to know what they need. And so, Lord, use us. Use us this week, Lord, that we would speak properly to one another. And, Lord, make us a healthy church that glorifies the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior in this world, Lord, that they would know us by our love for one another. In Jesus' name, we give all the thanks to You because You're the one working this in and through us. For Your glory we pray. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you and have a Jesus-filled week. Amen.